they call me Slim. I stand 6'2", pounding leather, punching cows. I'm a real buckaroo. Well, I could rustle up some grub in 10 seconds flat. My legend will live longer than my 10-gallon hat. I'm off to see my gal on my Palomino pal. I got a horse,
got a horse,
I got a hat,
got a hat,
I got a cowboy song, got a gal,
got a gal,
I got a trail,
got a trail,
I got a mosey along. And when I'm rounding up the cattle, just adding up the total, I'll be sitting in the saddle, letting out a yodel. My horse to all you men and women folk. He's actually a bicycle. His name's Old Spoke. Now you might wonder why training wheels are required. He can't stand up by himself, 'cause he's too tired. He's too tired. I got a horse,
got a horse,
I got a hat,
got a hat,
I got a cowboy song,
got a gal,
got a gal, I got a trail,
got a trail,
I got a mosey along. Sitting in the saddle, letting out a yodel, yodel-ay, yodel-oh, yodel-ay-dee, yodel-ay-dee. Well, I'm the sheriff, the ranger, the marshal, and the law. I'm the good guy in the white hat, and I'm quick on the draw. The bad guys are waiting for me somewhere around the bend, but I never really shoot no one, I just pretend. Well, I'm climbing on my horsey and I'm calling out the posse. Got a horse,
got a horse,
I got a hat.
You're listening to a special podcast produced by UMFM 101.5 in partnership with the Winnipeg Folk Festival. Running Thursday, July 5th through Sunday, July 8th at picturesque Birds Hill Park, Winnipeg Folk Festival is a celebration of people and music that has been one of North America's premier outdoor music festivals for over 40 years, and the largest. I'm Bruce Tulloch, host of Beer for Breakfast, and this episode spotlights Al Simmons. Normally, I am completely verbose, but I am a loss for words, so I'll give you some other people's words. Let's start with the Globe and Mail, a tour de force of ingenious, charming silliness. And the LA Times simply says, a masterpiece. He's a musician, he's an inventor, he's a nut. He's been called the Thomas Edison, although I like to call him the P.L. Robertson of entertainers, a wizard of one-liners and lightning bolt of lunacy, etc., etc. He is that person, and those are Al's words. Al Simmons will be performing as of yet a secret location and time. The complete schedule has not yet been announced for the Folk Festival, but for the Folk Fest full lineup, a complete list of set times, or to purchase tickets and more information, keep visiting the Winnipeg Folk Festival website at winnipegfolkfestival.ca. Welcome, Al Simmons. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm great, Bruce.
How are things out in Enola?
Oh, it's a glorious day. It always is here in Enola.
I bet. It's one of those truly hidden gems. Just far enough outside the city that you can come in, but far enough that you can keep it away.
That's right.
Almost in the Folk Fest spirit all the time. And, well, as people know, that you, from the Juno Award that you got, the two that you were nominated for, and the songs that won't leave their heads. And they also know, as we talked about, as we mentioned earlier, all of the props that you make. Of course, in the deep dark of winter this year, a fire broke out and panic ensued as, where am I going to see the one-man jukebox? How am I going to see Al ride his horse with his 10-gallon / 40-gallon hat? How is Al doing?
Well,
let's quickly start there and we'll get to the rebuilding, because that's been a nice story.
Okay.
For the folks who don't know, you've got a very unique shop where you create all of your props, and also store your mementos, and that was lost in a fire this winter.
Well, actually, it wasn't the shop that burned down, and I started off, it was actually my storage building for all of my costumes and props and everything. So the shop still exists, but the storage building for everything is gone, with the vast majority of stuff. I would say 95% of everything, well, even closer to 100% of everything's gone. But the shop still exists. I started off with a very primitive, well, my first shop was in my mom's basement, and that's where I built my exploding toilet seat was down there. That's the first prop I built. And then when I moved out to Enola here, my shop was in an old chicken house. And then I built my shop in a bedroom on the second floor of our house, just a little prop shop. And now I've got a little prop shop outside, and it's just a small building. You couldn't swing a 4x8 sheet of plywood around in there. But yeah, so it still exists. So, and that's where I was the night of the fire. I was in there. The fire was still being put out by the volunteer fire department, and I was in there creating props for the show the next day.
Is everything in storage before the show? So did you lose props for the show, or did you have them pulled out of storage ready to go?
Well, some stuff I made a decision the day before. My granddaughter came to play with me, and I decided not to load it. Normally, I'll load up the day before, and I was going to load my car with everything, but I didn't. I decided I was going to do it at the last minute the next day, so everything was in the building except a couple of things I had in my shop ready to be repaired. So, but I ran into the building a couple of times and pulled out some things until the last time I went in, the stuff I pulled out was on fire, and that's when I gave up.
Well, we're glad that you're safe. I remember the interview on CBC Information Radio in the morning, and you could hear the whole community, everybody was heartbroken for you. And I think that's nice. It really goes to the sense of what you mean to the community more than just somebody on stage performing a show. Hey, that was funny. It's something that they take away. As we mentioned, it's vaudeville and it's silly, and it's something that, you know, in comedy circles, you're like, oh, well, that's not cutting edge, but it's something that resonates with everybody. There's an innocence to it. And also I'd like to mention, Sinbad, the comedian, would always rebut the, well, you need to be edgier and rougher with, hey, you try and be innocent and clean. That's a hard work. And tell us about how the community is and what it is about your brand of silliness that everybody likes every single time.
Well, I'll have to tell you that it was my fans or the community and my friends and relatives and neighbors that convinced me to keep going. I was at a point where I really couldn't carry on financially. It's just so hard to say that, you know, the depression of losing everything and wondering how on earth I would find the time and the money to recreate stuff and whether I wanted to and why bother and all of that. But it was the community that rose up and told me, you must keep going. So I did.
And Heather Bishop, very, very good person in the community. She's got a notable music career for starters, and she's also very active behind the scenes. And she started a GoFundMe campaign so people could donate some money so you could repurchase the bits and pieces, the bobs and knobs that created these props and gadgets. But you don't have a recipe for any of this.
No, nothing was written. I didn't. Some of the things I drew diagrams of how I wanted things to be built, and nothing ever worked out the way I drew it. You know, I would have to rebuild and rebuild until all of a sudden, now it works kind of thing. But so when I'm recreating it, I'm just sort of guessing how I did it before. So nothing worked out exactly the same as it did initially. So it's going to take me a while to get used to working with them. But I should tell you, Heather Bishop is an amazing gal. She's a Renaissance woman. I don't think there's anything that woman can't do. She's a certified electrician, a carpenter, an incredible artist, songwriter, a musician, financial wizard, recording. Like, any advice I need on any subject, she's my first call. She's a brilliant woman, and she's taught me so much over the years. Anyway, I just can't say enough about her. She's an incredible gal. But, anyway, if it wasn't for her, she called me 3 times and begged me to let her do a GoFundMe page. And I said no every time, that I didn't want to trouble anybody with it. And then finally I called her and I said, I need your help, Heather. So I understood what she was up to, and I said, yes, please.
And not only did, we have the best volunteer charitable group of people anywhere. The province continually donates more money to charity per capita, and we volunteer like nobody else anywhere in the planet. We like participating, and people got on board. And if they, not only did they donate money, but on your social media posts, in the midst of all this darkness, it was there's no other word but inspirational to see all the posts you had on social media of the rebuilding process and all the people around that. Here's a fellow who helped me find this doodad thinger at the store that I needed for, you know, it was really nice. How do you, when you get to that point where you say you didn't know if you were going to continue or not, at that moment where you say, yep, I am, how did you know what you were going to rebuild and what you were going to create from scratch? You know what I mean?
Well, that's my problem, is I'll be somewhere and I'll find something that I say, okay, I can rebuild this thing. So then I'll rebuild it. And then after spending hours in my shop rebuilding it, I'm thinking, you know, that prop actually wasn't that funny to start with. Why did I rebuild it? So I asked my sons. I've got, my wife and I have 3 sons. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. And I asked them which ones they wanted me to rebuild. And I've asked I just find out from the general public which ones they would like to see rebuilt. Like, people say to me, did your bathtub get torched, and or did your crazy horn go? And they're asking about different things. So as they do, I'm thinking, okay, well, there's stuff I'll rebuild. But the thing is that those are the things that people saw and knew about. But there were countless things in there that I would pull out very rarely, and they were priceless gems. That one thing that I'm thinking about now, after seeing all the royal wedding hoopla, mm-hmm. I had one of those tall Busby hats, like the bearskin hats, that,
right.
And the red uniform, and I had epaulets on the side that would pop up and down, and the Busby hat would shoot out Canadian flags or ping pong balls or whatever out the top, and it was pretty outrageous thing. And I only used it a few times, but I'd bring it out special occasions. Now, am I going to rebuild that? That would be like a week in my shop to recreate that. Really, do I want to do that? I don't know. If I find the parts, maybe I will, but there's just so many things like that people didn't see, and nobody's going to request that I rebuild because they don't know about them. So I think I'm just going to let 95% of my props down in history for the few people that saw them. Some of the things in there, my family never even saw. I built them just on my own and thought, that's going to be cool someday. And they've sat in that building for 35 years, unseen.
Well, there you go. You say, well, if you think that's good, you should have seen.
Well, now it's like a lesson to me. I kept them. My sons grew up not knowing they were there. I should have brought them out and let them play with them. You know, go ahead, play with them, break them, because nobody's going to see them anyway. Mm. So now my granddaughters come over and, you know, we just make and play and do stuff, and it's what it is. Just take it out and use it.
And this also gives you, an opportunity. One door closes, another opens, to a great creator and somebody who is great at improv and can pull something off. Hey, look, here's a piece of fruit and here's a ball. So many times, like hosting main stage at the folk festival. One of my favorite memories was when you were going to blast off this orange. And I don't know why I remembered that scene, but that night you were on and in sync and diverting all the fruit from the green room into the audience. But this gives you the opportunity to develop some new props and new ideas. Do you have anything percolating?
Well, I did. I created a new thing. My son was helping me build stuff, and he went to my friend at Big Deal Custom Cases, Gary Dealey. And Gary said, there's a whole bin full of junk outside. Go through it. So anyway, my son came home with a bunch of prizes from Gary's garbage there, and one of them was a broken computer he was taking apart. He wanted to show his daughters the inside of a computer. And he left me the little fans, and I experimented with them with a 9-volt battery and some LED lights, and I created a new crazy hat. So that's one thing. But I'm so preoccupied with getting my show up and running for the summer that I've just been recreating props that were damaged. Curiously enough, a couple of new things that I had built prior to the fire were in my shop just being finished off. So I've got a couple of new things there. So, and you know, they're going to show up in my show. So there'll be some new things. And some folks will come and say, oh, look at, there's Al. I thought his props burned down, but look, he's got the same old stuff. But it's all new.
No, I'm pretty certain they'll say, hooray, that was saved.
Yes.
I know they will. I have seen many a show, and everybody is delighted, and I don't mean that hyperbolically. There's a great big word. I like that. Hyperbolically.
Like that. You know, my son Will was working with me here, and I said to him, I don't want to be known as the guy whose props all burned down. And, oh, poor Al, he lost all his props. Oh, it's so sad. I don't want to be that guy. And my son said to me, you're not going to be known as that guy. You're going to be known as the guy that came back from all of that. And just those words inspired me to keep going. Just my son saying that, it just made me feel better about the whole thing.
Well, it's also the turn of the next generation, all of us who grew up on yourself. And I want to briefly talk about your cohorts, are introducing the next generation to all this stuff anew. And we're, rediscovering I Am For You, although I can never walk past an eye chart again in my life without that song going. And of course, Daisy loves it, our little one. So the kids are getting back into it. And, from sons to granddaughters, the kids must keep you young and going.
Oh, absolutely. It's what I live for, being with kids. Or just anybody, the kid in all of us. I love seeing people laugh. And that's what is my driving force, is watching people laugh. They say laughter is the best medicine, and I think when you're laughing, it makes you feel better. But just hearing laughter, eliciting laughter, brings me joy and brings me health. It's what I live for, actually. Yep. You know, I was complaining for a while, why can't I just go on a tour and do the same show? Like do 6 months of this show, then come back, and then do 6 months of another show, and then tour this next show. But no, I'd come back from one show, next thing I'm doing my science of music show in a school, and then I'm doing an adult show for some corporate thing where it's all adults, and then I'm doing a kid's show, and then I'm doing a daycare center, and then I'm doing a TV appearance, and it just, and I'm coming home and I'm switching props and costumes and taking this and leaving that behind, and it just got overwhelming to me, and I just, you know, I was terrified I would forget one prop or costume. And just over the years, I've decided to embrace that and just say, wow, look at me, every day is different. So I must admit that has been a challenge to me. And now looking back at all the stuff that's gone, I'm thinking, well, I'm glad I did it the way I did it. So now I've got a full show for summer touring. And when I say a full show, I mean I've got probably an hour and 45 minutes of material I can do. So I can vary it up a little bit as I go. But, yeah, the other thing I wanted to just go back briefly, you mentioned Fred Penner and Bob King.
Mm-hmm.
Bob King, one of my favorite songwriters of all time, and I worked with him for years in a band called Cornstalk, and Bob just kept all of these songs to himself. He never, every now and then he'd let one out, and we'd think, what a gem,
mm-hmm.
Where was that? And he said, oh, I sang that years ago, I wrote that years ago. Anyway, incredible songwriter, and Fred started off doing kid stuff after the band broke up, and recorded a bunch of Bob King songs.
Mm-hmm.
Sandwiches Are Beautiful and I Am the Bat and a bunch of these great tunes that Bob wrote. But you were saying that Fred is making a big comeback. Fred never went anywhere. He's always been busy, always been
this is true.
A big star. But the one guy in Cornstalk that nobody mentions or nobody remembers is Mike Klim, the drummer who I brought into the band because Fred, it felt like Fred wanted to turn the band into a folk singing band and Bob into a country and western band, and but singing some of his songs as well. And I was more geared up towards this wacky, crazy improv kind of funny band, and Mike Klim, the drummer, that was his bent as well. He was a funny, very funny comedy guy, and I brought him in, and he was like the driving force behind me for all the years that Cornstalk was a successful bar band, is mainly what we were, and then we went into doing family events in the summer. And that's what tore us apart, is that none of us wanted to go back in the bars anymore after we were doing these festivals. But anyway, I just wanted to say Mike Klim was, if anybody was Cornstalk, it was Mike Klim. He was the driving force behind the comedy.
And you mentioned you never go back. One of the very first time, probably the first time we ever talked, you said that, yep, once you go family, you never go back. And I never forgot that. And over the years, I have had quite a number of friends in the music industry do just that. They delight the audience, and they go, you know what, even my kids would like this. They do one family show, and then it's like, yep, out of the bars.
And yeah,
you know.
Well, but that as well, but also I've often said, I've been on Sesame Street, and I often say Sesame Street is a one-way street. Once you step on it, you're done. You're going down Sesame Street. You're a kid's act. And I used to do novelty shows for any age. I was mainly working for adults, and it was always this wacky, crazy, funny, good, clean fun for adults. And folks kept saying, oh, this is great. And then once Kids Festival started up and more kids shows and Raffi and all of that, people said, hey, Al Simmons would be great in a kids show, in a kids festival. And then that was it. All of a sudden, people don't see me as entertaining adults. But I always think that when I'm doing my shows, I'm entertaining the entire audience, whether there's kids or adults out there. And I've actually had some adults come up to me after and say, your show is too much for the adults. It's like you're playing to the adults, not the kids.
No, you're just not underestimating the kids.
Yeah, that's it. I think kids can enjoy stuff that's potentially way over their heads, but they could get the humor. And I hear parents come up to me all the time and say, my kids can't stop making puns after seeing it. Once they understand what a pun is, they can't stop joking. So, well, that's a good thing.
That's a great thing. It keeps the mind active. And and I know you're always active and busy, so we won't take up any more of your time. Al Simmons, thank you ever so much. AlSimmons.com, everything you need to know about Al. And we will see you at the Folk Festival. Thank you, sir.
I look forward to it. See you there.
I'm Bruce Tulloch, and you've been listening to a special podcast spotlighting Al Simmons, who'll be performing at the 2018 Winnipeg Folk Festival under the Chickadee Big Top. To hear more featured artists, visit umfm.com, and be sure to visit winnipegfolkfestival.ca to get tickets to this great event, which runs July 5th through the 8th at Birds Hill Park.
Funny thing what love can do. Take a little look at me. Yesterday I was so blue, bluer than the deep blue sea. But now I'm singing, whistling a tune all the livelong day. If you want to know just why, I can truthfully say I've got the feeling I found her. It was something she said. She's got me walking on the tip of my toes with my hat on the side of my head. All my troubles have mended. She's my needle and thread. 'Cause she's got me walking on the tip of my toes with my hat on the side of my head. Oh, that wonderful smile, I fell from the start. You should listen for a while to the thump, thump, thumping on my poor old heart. She got a wonderful future, one as rosy and red. 'Cause she's got me walking on the tip of my toes with my hat on the side of my head. She's got me walking on the side of my head with my hat on.